All right, the agenda review. Kathy, you want to take it from here?
Sure, thanks, Harry. So we have a pretty full agenda today. So Ernst & Young Danielle will be presenting the audit plan for fiscal 22, which is about to ramp up. Chuck Yu, our deputy controller, will be presenting the third quarter financial statements, which are strong once again, I'm happy to say. And then Ellen will present the debt and investment report. Mary Hom will do her HGC credit exposure and an internal reports. I will have an update on our corporate credit card policy. And then in other business, we have two small items here. Alex Medina, our Senior Vice President of Asset Management, will present an update on the HPD homeless placement unit temps. And I will have an update on an HPD census payment that we made on their behalf and were reimbursed for. And that's the agenda.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we'll start with Ernst & Young's audit plan. Are they on?
Yes, good morning, Harry. Danielle
okay.
Hurlbert from EY is on. Excellent. Thank you for the time on the agenda this morning. I'll just take a couple minutes. I know that the materials were all sent in advance, and included in that package was a document, which is our 2022 audit plan for the agency. And so this will be the fiscal year-end audit that is upon us just a few days from the year-end of October 31st. And so as Kathy said, we are in sort of our kind of ramp-up phase for our audit services, working on a little bit of interim and planning procedures right now with Kathy and Mary and the team on the finance side. And then we will fully ramp up really kind of late November and then carry on through December and January. And so if you want to turn to our document for those that want to follow along, like I said, it's included in the package. There's an executive summary on page 2, which maybe I'll just speak off of there for a few moments. As I said, just a little give a little update on timing and maybe just to round out our timing expectation. As in prior years, our intent and plan will be to report back to this committee at your January meeting, as we have historically done. And so again, we'll have an audit results presentation at that time, along with draft financial statements that we will discuss and talk through. And so really what it maybe I would say from just taking off, and if you flip through the book at this point, you know, I will say that generally our audit plan for this year is consistent with prior years. Although we go through a risk assessment process each year as part of our planning procedures for the financial statement audit, you know, really the quantitative and qualitative factors that we might look at as part of that risk assessment process are very likely to result in sort of the same financial statement accounts being, you know, really the material items and the things that we're going to need to audit as part of our procedures. And so what I will say is that, you know, I think if you've read through the summary of our planned procedures, they are overall consistent with prior year. If there was any change to those procedures, we would report that back to this committee at the January meeting as part of the audit results. And so, you know, what I will say is, in addition to maybe commenting that, you know, the plan procedures are consistent with prior years, I'll also note that one of the things that we did implement last year was an additional data analytic tool around the auditing of the mortgage receivables, which is a very significant account and activity of the organization for the year. And so I will say that we plan to continue with that data analytic, use of that data analytic tool. And so again, like I said, we'll report our results as part of, you know, at the conclusion of the audit. And maybe one additional thing to call out is just one accounting standard that will be adopted by the organization in the fiscal year 22 financial statements. And so we've already begun discussions with Kathy and Mary and team. This is, it's called GASB 91 and around reporting of conduit debt obligations. And so, you know, I know that the team has already started some analysis. They've already provided some of that to us. And so, you know, I will say well into auditing and being prepared to implement that accounting standard as part of the financial statement audit this year. And so maybe I'll pause there, or really stop there, I guess I'll say, you know, as I said, happy to take any questions, if any, on our procedures, but really just wanted to quickly give a summary of our audit plan for fiscal 22.
Any questions from any of the members? Okay, there being none, we thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Okay, and still expect the filing in late January. Okay.
Exactly.
We'll be setting up the meeting very shortly to make sure it's on everyone's calendar.
Okay. Okay, the next item is the financial report.
Chuck, I think, right?
Yeah, Chuck.
Chuck, yeah. Chuck, you're on mute.
Chuck, you there?
Oh, sorry. I was talking. Thank you, Harry. Good morning. The third quarter financials of fiscal year 2022 covers the period November 1st, 2021 through July 31st, 2022. As of the end of the third quarter, revenues exceeded expenses by $75.1 million compared to with the same period in fiscal year 2021 when net income was $201.7 million. The decrease was due to the fair value depreciation on investments as a result of rising interest rate. The investment portfolio was marked down by $198.1 million and recorded as an unrealized loss. Currently, HDC has sufficient liquidity with $1.9 billion in demand deposit accounts to meet current obligations, including funds already committed for closed mortgage loans. Excluding the effect of the fair value depreciation, the corporation's net income performance exceeded the results of previous years. Operating income for this period was $237.1 million compared to $175.3 million during the same period last year. Mortgage interest earnings and fees make up 82.2% of operating revenues, an increase by 14.4% from a year ago. Total assets were at $25 billion, an increase of $486.8 million or 2% from fiscal year end 2021. The increase was mainly due to the corporation's ongoing lending activities, as mortgage loan advances were at $1.8 billion for the period. The mortgage portfolio, which totals $20.3 billion and comprises 79.4% of total assets, is currently performing well, and the delinquency rate as of July 31st, 2022 was below 2% of monthly billing. Total liabilities were $21.2 billion, a net increase of $411.7 million, or 2%, mainly due to HPD grant fund received for mortgage loans under Section 661. Bonds and debt obligations increased it by a net of $222.2 million. New issuances were at $1.8 billion, which, while principal repayment and defeasance totaled $1.6 billion. Net position at the end of the third quarter was $3.8 billion, up by $75.1 million from fiscal year end 2021. This concludes my remark. Any questions?
I have a question, Harry. It sounds like the interest rate impact is offset by the growing business and then on the other side, mortgage interest is up. But when you look across in terms of, like, say, looking out over the horizon, is there going to be enough of the offset to kind of close the gap from the say the fair value depreciation on of you know, on the other side? Because it sounds like it requires, depending upon how long this current state of economy goes on, this could ultimately not be a wash or an upside at the end.
Yeah, I'll take a first shot at that. I think others will say, but that's it's kind of a standard thing when you're marking to market against a rising interest rate. So you lose that calculated value. And as you heard in the report, we have the liquidity needed to meet obligations. And what you generally do in that situation is you simply hold the maturity and you get that value. You don't actually, you don't lose that value in the long term as long as you hold the maturity. It would only be if we had to sell it, which we don't expect we'd have to sell. And I think someone here probably has the average maturity on that. It's not that long. It's not as short as maybe we would have liked. It's about six, did someone say?
It's about between 6 to 10 years.
Yeah, so we've got a window in there which will hold to maturity, and if rates come down, you'll do better. It's going to bounce around. We don't expect to have to sell in that period of time, though, is the short answer.
Yeah, short answer is we're not going to realize that loss. But on the other side, Denise, the interest rates on the mortgages, based on our term sheet, also has to be increased. So it's a balancing act. For example, it's a fair value. We'll see our investment earnings go down because of fair value. But at the same time, you look at our mortgage interest earning, that's also going up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then the other thing that we're looking at too is, rather than investing in more securities, we are investing with bank deposits. You know, our money market accounts. They're not money market funds. The rates are coming up on those, and we are talking to the banks about, sometimes when we need to hold money for a while, they'll give us a different rate. We're also going to use for our December deal on guaranteed investment contracts. Again, we place some money with a broker dealer that are highly rated, and we're guaranteed a rate. Though that's not marked to market either. And the other thing we're doing is, we're using repo a lot, which again, there's not a mark to market that short term. And those repo rates, because the yield curve is so inverted, are actually very good. So we're really not purchasing securities. We're balancing out. Cash management does move money between accounts internally. But there's still a lot of funds invested on very short term. So we have plenty of liquidity.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was going to be my next question, like, what's the change in the investment strategy? But thanks for answering that.
Yeah. So, and the guaranteed investment contract rates are very good. We're looking at them, and I don't know if you recall, before the financial crisis, we were able to get guaranteed investment contracts for our float fund, which is the mortgage revenue we collect every month that we use to pay debt service every semiannual period. And some of the broker deals are offering these GIC rates on revenue funds, which look attractive. So we're exploring that as well for our December issuance. So we have a lot of tools that we're able to use.
Right.
We feel very comfortable.
Thank you.
I would add, the big picture good news is that our business activity, as you pointed out in your framing your question, is strong. The income is strong, the fee income is strong, and the lending we're doing is strong. So that's positive.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the bad debt is minimal. So things still look rosy for HGC.
They do. I'll be honest with you. We're watching that bad debt question closely. We talk to partners nationally in other cities, and we hear, comments about concerns over, rental arrears and collections that we monitor closely, and so we are paying close attention to it. We don't want to be surprised by anything, but yeah, it's a little bit of, as you heard in the report, it's good so far. We're just trying to dig down a little deeper and make sure that we're ahead of a trend if it starts to show up.
Okay. There being no other questions, we'll go to the debt report. The debt report. Ellen?
You're on mute, Ellen.
Sorry about that. The corporation's debt report is as of September 30th, 2022. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of April 30th, 2022. During this time, the corporation has issued 7 series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $670.2 million and 1 remarketing that was in the open resolution in the amount of $158 million. There are bond redemptions in 7 series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $320.9 million, 1 series in the multifamily secured resolution, which is a mini open, in the amount of $45,000, that was a final maturity, and 1 standalone bond redemption in the amount of $5.99 million. And the corporation's debt outstanding as of September 30th is approximately $14.7 billion. The corporate statutory debt capacity has been increased from $17 billion to $18 billion. That happened in August when the governor signed the debt limit bill in mid-August. Any questions?
No questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I assume we'll ask for another increase next summer.
Yes, we did. We are working on that right now. We're projected out with the issuance we may do for NYCHA and our own issuance. Yeah, we're still below it, but if because this doesn't get signed until later in the year, we just want to make sure we have that cushion. So, yes, we are asked for another $1 billion increase.
Okay. All right, thank you. There being no other questions, we'll go to the investment report. Ellen?
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so Yafa did email a new report yesterday afternoon. I really found a typo in the report that was originally sent to you. I think it was an autosave issue, so I apologize for that, but it was the day of the report picked up the prior month. So anyway, the corporation's investment report is as of October 3rd, 2022, and our funds under management total approximately $5.2 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. Mary, the credit risk exposure?
Thank you. The report before you is dated as of September 30, 2022, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated April 30, 2022. There were no rating agency actions of note, and there were no new approved counterparties. HDC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit covering 22 projects. Investments rated AA or higher were 59% of total investments versus 60% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 13% of total investments versus 17% at the last report, and these investments are fully collateralized by high-quality U.S. Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HDC exposure to liquidity providers increased to approximately $384 million from $355 million at the last report due to the issuance of the 2022 Series C3 bonds. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions. Okay. Then we'll go to the internal audit report.
Thank you. So before I report on completed audits since the last meeting, I'll start with a few updates on 3 internal audit matters. First, since the last meeting, HDC filed its financial integrity statement and internal controls checklist with the New York City Comptroller's Office and the Mayor's Office of Operations in compliance with the Comptroller's Directive No. 1 regarding internal controls. This financial integrity statement is posted on the HDC website. Second, we posted a request for proposal seeking an outside vendor to perform the 5-year quality assessment review, or the QAR, of our internal audit function in accordance with HDC's quality assurance Assurance and Improvement Program, as well as with the International Standards for the Professional Practice of Internal Auditing, that recommends that an external assessment be performed every 5 years. The last time a QAR was conducted at HTC was in 2017, so 5 years ago. We have selected BDO to perform the QAR and hope to complete that review by the end of this calendar year. Thirdly, a brief update on the audit plan. Due to staffing issues, we expect that the audit plan will not be completed as originally presented to the audit committee earlier this year. Our current organizational plan calls for a staff of 2 auditors. However, we've been down 1 auditor for the last 7 months, and finding a replacement has proven to be a challenge. We are continuing our search for an appropriate replacement. With respect to audit planning for 2023, risk assessment discussions are now complete, and we thank the audit committee members for their participation in our risk assessment process. We are assessing all the comments and are contemplating moving from a static audit plan set at the beginning of each calendar year to a more dynamic approach that will assess risk and plan accordingly on a more periodic basis, and we'll report more on this at the next audit committee meeting. So those are my updates, and I'll now move to reporting on the internal audits that were completed since the last report. Since the last report to the Audit Committee on June 1st, 2022, 3 internal audits were completed, and a copy of each report is attached in your packets. First was the 2022 Office Card Access Agile Audit. Here, we performed various audit tests, such as verifying active key card access was valid, determining if key card access was removed on a timely basis for terminated employees or individuals no longer requiring access, determining if adequate procedures and appropriate oversight of key card activity is in place, and determining if inventory of stored cards was for future use was kept safely. We noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered a material weakness. We found key card access was only provided to active employees, building management, and affiliates that required access. Terminated employees' key cards were deactivated in a timely manner, and inventory of stored access cards was appropriately secured. Internal audit provided management with a list of best practices to consider as the corporation moves to new office space in 2023. Next is the 2022 Construction Loan Monitoring Audit. Here, the objectives of this audit were to determine if there are written construction loan policies and procedures, to assess the accuracy, validity, and adequacy of documentation for construction loan draw requests, and to determine if appropriate general ledger accounts have been set up to accurately record construction loan disbursements and bank reconciliations are maintained for accounts used for fund disbursements. Upon completion of this audit, we noted no matters involving internal control and its operation that we consider to be a material weakness. Responsibilities for monitoring construction, disbursing funds to borrowers, and maintaining bank reconciliations are adequately segregated with sufficient reporting to monitor all activities. Documentation supporting draw requests was accurate with appropriate signatures recorded. Enhancement opportunities were presented to management, and management is reviewing the feasibility of those proposed enhancements. Finally, the payroll and timekeeping and employee benefits administration's audits were completed. These audits were outsourced to BDO USA LLP. By way of background, BDO was selected in September 21, 2021 through the request for proposals process to perform an internal audit of HTC's payroll and timekeeping and employee benefits administration. The audit commenced in February 2022, and the final report was issued in late May 2022. BDO assisted HTC with comprehensive reviews of HTC's payroll and timekeeping, including supporting systems and technology, and employee benefits administration with the goal of making strategic recommendations that are in alignment with HTC goals and objectives, as well as to best practices. Here, BDO reported no significant or high risk factors that need to be addressed. In the area of payroll and timekeeping, BDO noted 3 areas of moderate risk regarding systems and access, and management has since addressed these risks by taking the necessary action to mitigate them. In addition, 2 process improvements were suggested, and management is examining both suggestions for implementation. in the area of employee benefits administration, BDO noted no observations and made no additional recommendations. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to make my Chuck Birdler speech. BDO has represented my company and predecessors for more than 60 years, but I had no involvement in the choosing of BDO for HTC. So that's my Chuck Birdler.
we'll note that in the minutes. Thank you.
Okay. There being nothing else, I guess we'll go to the credit card policy.
Thanks, Harry. So at the audit committee meeting held on October 5th, 2021, the members approved the adoption of a corporate credit card policy. As you recall, the main purpose of the policy is to eliminate the financial burden on HTC staff who currently use their personal credit cards during HTC business-related travel. Since the meeting last year, there have been a few minor changes to the policy, which we include in your packet. The main change is related to using a travel coordination vendor. The original policy presented stated that a travel coordination vendor will be used. However, upon discussions with the vendor, it was determined that the costs related to using a travel vendor were too high to justify the benefits. The amount of travel that HTC does each year is fairly low and does not meet the thresholds of the monthly charges of a travel management vendor. Among the benefits a travel vendor provides are tools to make travel arrangements, capture travel data and receipts for reporting, and integrate expenses into an accounts payable system, all of which are nice perks to have with the credit card, but are not necessary, especially given the fact that HTC currently has systems in place to report and record travel. As a result, senior management has decided to forego a travel management vendor and continue to handle travel arrangements in-house. And the other minor changes to the policy related to title changes since the last meeting to reflect promotions of senior staff. And if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Denise, any questions?
No, I'm good. Good decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to thank Eric for granting the chairman of the audit committee unlimited access to the credit card.
But the minutes show that is not quite accurate.
Yeah, no. Only kidding.
But everyone laughed. We can put that
Okay, the last two items, the update on HPD homeless placement unit temps is the first one.
Sure, I'll start. Good morning, everyone. The New York City Housing Development Corporation continues to work with the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development in its efforts to expedite and streamline housing placements within HDC's portfolio. The increase in homeless set-aside units anticipated in HDC's new construction pipeline, along with the re-rental of existing homeless units, requires more capacity than HPD Homeless Placement Services has available. These capacity constraints would adversely impact one of New York City's most vulnerable populations, as well as the financial stability of HTC developments. In order to accommodate for this ongoing matter, HTC has agreed to extend our existing memorandum of understanding between the agencies through June 30th, 2023. This extension preserves the existing five HPD employees currently working on HTC homeless placements at a total cost of $330,000. Given HPD's existing infrastructure and expertise in placing homeless households, HTC has concluded that this is the most effective solution in ensuring that our homeless units are leased as quickly as possible. It should also be noted that keeping the homeless placement process centralized is important in avoiding confusion among the agency's joint partners. In addition, alternative solutions have been deemed not feasible, as they would create undue financial, technical, and legal hurdles otherwise needed for HDC or a third party to create its own placement division and gain access to the New York City Department of Homeless Services IT systems. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. And then that brings us to the HPD census payment and reimbursement.
Thank you. We wanted to inform the members about a recent emergency payment made by HDC to the U.S. Census Bureau on behalf of HPD. On August 10, 2022, a memorandum of understanding was executed between HDC and HPD, and on August 12, 2022, HDC issued payment to the U.S. Census Bureau for $2 million. The MOU stipulated that HPD was to reimburse HDC for the full amount upon registration by the New York City Comptroller's Office of a contract between HPD and the Census Bureau, which occurred on September 28, 2022, and HDC was reimbursed in full. All future payments related to this contract are expected to be made by HPD directly to the U.S. Census Bureau. As background, HPD is required to conduct the Housing and Vacancy Survey as required by Section 3 of the Local Emergency Housing Rent Control Act of 1962. HPD is required to pay the Census Bureau to conduct the survey work under the contract between HPD and the Census Bureau, which has to be registered by the New York City Comptroller's Office. The Census Bureau is the only entity who performs this work, and there is no other option for a vendor to conduct the survey. Due to a delay in registration of the contract, HPD determined that it would be unable to make the payment due date of August 12, 2022. The Census Bureau stated to HPD that if the payment was not made by the due date, it would have to reassign survey workers to another project, which would have led to a 9 to 12 month delay in starting and finalizing the work. This delay would have resulted in the work not being completed within the required time frame under the legislation, which, without an amendment to extend, which would have resulted in the expiration of rent stabilization, even though the eventual completion of the survey most likely would have demonstrated a continuation of the emergency, necessitating extension of the rent stabilization law. The expiration of rent stabilization would result in a significant and unprecedented increase in the already significant demand in New York City for the development of newly constructed affordable housing and the preservation of existing market rate housing into rental housing units affordable to low and moderate income residents. As a last resort, HPD asked HDC to make a payment of $2 million on HPD's behalf to the Census Bureau. In order to avoid the expected negative consequences to the New York City housing market, which would result in a strain on HDC's financial and staffing resources, HDC agreed to make this emergency payment. Are there any questions?
Well, I think it was a good decision to make the payment. I think it's quite awful that it had to be made and that the Census Bureau had no patience for getting paid. It's absolutely absurd. However, good decision to pay.
We tried. We even tried to ask them if we could do a 10% down payment. They were just unwilling. It was, you know, we were like agency to agency. It was.
Can't make this up.
It was disappointing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a 1 month delay. It was like the risk of losing 9 months to a year of activity was really, you go to the back of the line, which would have been really troubling. So thank you for your comment, Denise. We agree with yes. you.
And we've been reimbursed. So. Mm-hmm. Well, all's well that ends well.
All's well that ends well. We're a whole, and they are making future payments. So,
okay, very good. Any other business? Okay, there being none, we can take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move to adjourn.
Okay, second. Aye.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned.